Would you mind explaining all the factors that contribute to giving way being a complicated road rule? I was trying to wrap my head around it this morning, and I really, it was so much more complicated than I ever thought it would be.
So the question arises, if you're at an intersection as a pedestrian and a car is approaching the intersection, and the intersection is not a signalized intersection, there's no traffic light there, who gets to go first? And the question, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on what the speed of the road is, how far away the vehicle is, how fast the pedestrian can move. Both parties, pedestrian and drivers, have an obligation not to cause crashes. Pedestrians shouldn't jump in front of a car that's about to reach their point so that they're incapable of stopping. I mean, that, you know, suicide by car is not encouraged. And a car that can stop, the driver should apply the brakes if they see a pedestrian in the road, even if the pedestrian's not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. But if you're approaching a road, who is supposed to yield? This gets to liability in case there is a crash. Depends on which way vehicles are moving. So a vehicle that's moving straight through an intersection isn't required to yield to a pedestrian that wants to use the roadway unless it's marked as a crosswalk. But a car that's turning into a road is required to yield to a pedestrian that's crossing the road.
Goodness me.
And my guess is almost nobody actually knows this. And the problem is, you know, pedestrians certainly have no reason to know this because pedestrians don't have to necessarily take a driving test because they're not necessarily drivers. And even if someone took the driving test and may have read the road rules at some point in time in the past, they may not remember them and they may not appear as in their memory as they were actually written at the time. And of course, they may have changed over the years.
And it seems like an almost unnecessarily complicated thing to try and remember and dissect in what would be a split second decision.
Right. And I mean, I'm a professor of transport, and I didn't realize this until I was, you know, somebody yelled at me as a pedestrian to, you know, read the road rules. And it's like, well, you know, I was crossing the street and I figured the car would stop because the car was perfectly capable of stopping him and said they accelerated. So I cursed them out as any good Australian should do. Right.
Yes.
And the issue is, well, you know, it's like I read the road rules and it was ambiguous, right? So I was in the road and there was a risk of hitting me. So he should have stopped because there was a risk of hitting me, not because of the road rules, but because that's, you know, what people are supposed to do. But he didn't hit me and therefore it wasn't a crime, right? He didn't violate the road rules because he didn't actually hit me.
No.
Had he hit me, that would have been a problem, but he didn't hit me. So I came from the United States, as you can probably tell from my accent. In the U.S., road rules vary by state, but in Minnesota, every intersection has an implicit crosswalk, even if it's not marked. So cars are supposed to stop for a pedestrian that is waiting to cross or is obviously in the street. And although that's not necessarily practiced 100% of the time, that's the law. And so, you know, this being a big city, I just sort of went along the way of, if I'm in the street and the car can stop for me, the car should stop for me, because of course the car should stop for me anyway, even if it's not in the road rules.
Mm.
But they were being especially aggressive if it was what I would consider an unmarked crossing, but they would not consider a pedestrian crossing.
At all.
And so part of the problem is that you have a situation, if let's say you're on a city block and none of the intersections around it are marked and there's a lot of traffic, there's no way. The pedestrian is trapped on an island, effectively, legally, right? I mean, if they step into the road, the car should stop. But unless a car actually yields, the pedestrian is theoretically trapped. And this doesn't seem like a logical outcome of a policy. So you could say, well, if the pedestrians kept walking, then the car would be trapped on the street, which would also be true. And so there ought to be a more, you know, give way type of logic where people take turns crossing, as if it were, in the U.S., a four-way stop with a lot of traffic, people are basically rotate around the four-way stop in order to take turns. And that way, no one is trapped forever. It may not be the most efficient way to move vehicles, but if you don't have a traffic signal, it's a safer way of moving vehicles
and people. Especially with that scenario you just gave there with someone being trapped kind of on a pedestrian island in the middle of two lanes of traffic is not a safe place for anyone to be.
Right. And I mean, you have these even smaller, I mean, not even a city block as a, you know, as an island, but, you know, you have these refuge islands where you've got a free left turn in many places. And it's like the pedestrian, I mean, usually these have traffic signals associated with them, but not always. And this is a, you know, another one of these questions of why does a pedestrian have to cross three roads in order to cross the street? Mm. You know, if I mean, there's, and these are at major intersections. I mean, City Road and Broadway, for instance, you have to cross the road three times in some cases, if you want to just cross from the wrong side of City Road to the other side of Broadway.
Mm.
And this doesn't seem like a good way to design a city.
no.
You know, because a city should be a place where people have access on foot. And the reason that cities are valuable is because people can reach a lot of things quickly on foot, not because they can drive from place to place fast. I mean, there's no reason to make people live in a dense area or have people work in a dense area if they're going to be driving everywhere. The reason is that they can walk in a lot of places, and that's what makes it so economically valuable. That's why rents in the CBD are higher than rents elsewhere, for instance. You know.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the states before and talking about the differences in road rules there, but there are lots of countries all around the world where drivers are held to a much higher standard, such as like the UK and the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Why do you think we have such a low onus of responsibility or a low importance placed on our pedestrians here in Australia?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. So, for instance, Norway has basically a pedestrian has the right of way.
Mm.
You know, wherever they are, the pedestrian has the right of way, and everyone should behave responsibly and, you know, not endanger each other. But they don't have these complicated types of road rules. Norway had one pedestrian fatality last year.
Wow.
And it's, I mean, it used to be at the same level as Australia, and it's come way down because they're taking road safety seriously. So why is Australia not adopting these? I mean, who's designing the road rules? Well, the people who design the road rules, I would bet all of them are drivers. And so their perspective is from the windshield rather than the perspective of that of a pedestrian. And their objective is to move cars quickly rather than to allow people to reach the things that they care about. And so they're given a, you know, a mission. I mean, the transport agencies, the RMS in New South Wales, which has been absorbed by Transport for New South Wales, but, you know, sort of the culture of that organization historically was very much about moving vehicles quickly. And the traffic signals are timed to achieve that end, for instance, right? They're not timed for pedestrians. A pedestrian pushes a button and then has to wait until the light turns green for their phase, and they get a walk signal, and they get a walk signal for 6 seconds, maybe, in a lot of intersections, if you're outside of the CBD. And why is it only 6 seconds every 2 minutes that you get a chance to cross the street? Well, because they don't care about pedestrians. They care about moving vehicles quickly. And if you design the system for vehicles, you're going to get more vehicles. And then the more vehicles you have, the more constituents, drivers you have that are going to complain that the system should be designed to move vehicles more quickly. And pedestrians are considered a nuisance, right? If you the only place you should be walking is from your car to your door, according to this logic. Mm-hmm. And that, and you know, in an ideal situation, you'd be able to drive into your house. You know, and that doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the, if you carry forward the logic of the design principles that they've been operating under, that's what they're doing.
Mm, absolutely. And then we're looking to the future and we're seeing things like driverless cars come into the picture, where we don't have the autonomy of a human sitting behind a wheel making the decision, I shouldn't hit another human.
Right.
You've got a machine making very calculated decisions based on rules that are very complicated.
Right. And the simpler rule, don't hit a human, right? And you could trace it back to Asimov's laws of robotics, you know, don't harm people, you know, should be built into this. So if they sense a human that's in their path, they should slow down or stop. And if the human's not moving, then try to drive around them if it's safe to do so. And, you know, this will inevitably lead to, you know, problems, you know, as people, either there's a lot of people and then it's difficult for the vehicle to move at all, but my sympathy isn't there. You know, it's like, so then, you know, you're in a crowd of a lot of people, why are you moving a car? And you might have a good reason to have a car, but you don't necessarily have a higher right to move in that space than somebody else does, you know. And presumably autonomous vehicles won't be allowed en masse unless they're on average at least as safe as humans and probably safer than human drivers, although that waits to be tested. But, you know, if they have a much higher fatality rate, presumably there'll be regulations against them. And so the hope would be that they'll be more courteous and the rules would have to be less ambiguous because it's a computer program and the computer will have to sort of understand explicitly what it should do in any particular case. And you won't have the problems of speeding, and you'll try to get, you know, you can maybe design them so that they don't, you know, sort of try to feel the need to accelerate instantaneously out of an intersection and, you know, behave in other ways that are generally
dangerous,
you know, bad for others around them. But, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. But if you write rules that are ambiguous, and there's a number of ambiguities in the road rules, like how do you determine whether a pedestrian is about to cross the street, right? So if you're yielding at a crosswalk, and you're supposed to yield not only to someone who's in the crosswalk, but someone who's about to use the crosswalk, well, how close do they have to be and in what direction do they have to be pointed in order for you to conclude that they're about to use the crosswalk? And that's not at all clear. You know, I mean, I don't have an answer to it. I mean, you could write a rule saying, well, if they're within a meter of the roadbed and facing in the direction of the crossing, you know, then they are willing to, you know, then they're about to cross. But those rules aren't written. And if you try to make those rules explicit, you know, there'll always be, the more detail you put in, the more exceptions you find. And this is just one of the problems of creating road rules. So going from a system with 353 rules, which, again, I don't think, which is what we have, and to a system with many fewer might be an improvement. It's certainly what the countries that have safer transport systems do. So if you look at the Scandinavian countries or the Netherlands, their road rules are much less complicated than we have here.
It's a very interesting proposal to consider, and it's one that I think it seems like it makes sense to yield to pedestrians, to give roads, to prioritize pedestrians on our roads as well. It seems very common sense, but as you said, that 300 and something odd rules seem to make it more complicated than it needs
right.
to be.
And there's a lot of rules which say, you know, about how pedestrians need to behave around cars, but there's very few rules about how cars need to behave around pedestrians, right? And so it's, you know, it's very biased in the way it's written here. And, you know, they're updated periodically, so there'll be opportunities for them to be revised, but people have to pay attention to this kind of thing. And to date, that nobody in the, you know, outside of the closed group of people who write these rules has been paying a lot of attention to them. It's just sort of been accepted that these are beneficial and, you know, and for safety. And I mean, certainly the people who are advocating these rules are trying to make them safer, but it's also about the convenience of people and automobiles. And I don't think that's the priority that we should be having, certainly not inside of, you know, large metropolitan areas. And, you know, a lot of this is also context dependent. In a place like in a city where you expect to find people, the rules should be much more giving liberties to people than in a place where if a person is unlikely to be seen, you'd expect to be able to drive faster. And so people should have to be more cautious about popping out because drivers aren't looking for them, right? I mean, so if you're in a rural environment, the condition without footpaths and those kinds of things, people have to behave differently than in a city. But the rules have to be uniform across the state or the country. And that one of these other kinds of inconsistencies here. You don't want to have different rules in different places, but on the other hand, the conditions are different and the expectations are different and the speeds are different. And expecting people in rural areas to drive 30 or 40 kilometers an hour isn't going to go over very well.
No, right? it would not.
And, you know, so there's got to be a difference in what you do inside of urban areas and what you do outside of them.
David, unfortunately, we're out of time, so we'll have to leave it there. But thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.